Please turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1. Our theme for this year is perfecting God's love in our Christian lives. And in keeping with that theme, we come to the book of Ruth. We're going to do a four-part series on the book of Ruth entitled The Love Story. One message on each chapter. Today, chapter 1. The book of Ruth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all your love, your everlasting love, the love by which you gave your Son, and he gave himself. Lord, as we look at the testimony of Naomi and Ruth, particularly the love that Ruth had for Naomi, help us to see a little bit more about this thing called love. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of people like to read love stories. There are lots and lots and lots of romance novels available, including a lot of Christian romance novels. Have you ever come across a real-life love story, and you have to say to yourself, you just couldn't make this up? It's obviously not fiction. It's so real. We have one such event. We call it a story, but it's really an event, a real-life event. And it involves several people and different relationships. Today we look at the relationship between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law and the love of a young woman for the God of Israel. The woman in focus at the beginning of this story is Naomi. The meaning of Naomi is my delight. You know, the names in the Bible had meanings, and it seems like the meanings of their names really had something to do with their life. Now, Naomi means my delight. And it appears that Naomi was a delight to people around her. She was a delight to her husband, a delight to her sons, even becoming a delight to her daughters-in-law, which becomes obvious as we read through chapter 1. Now, her husband's name is Elimelech, and his name means my God is king. So apparently he was a godly man, and they were residents of the town of Bethlehem, with which we are familiar, in the tribe of Judah. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. I'm trying to pronounce them the way the Hebrew would pronounce them. I hope I get that right. The H is a hard H, Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Two sons, Mahlon. The meaning of his name is sick. What a name, right? And his brother's name, Chilion, means pining or losing strength. It appears that both of these young men had continuing health problems. That will explain something, I think, that happens a little later on. Famine struck in the land of Israel in the days of the judges. It says in verse 1, in the days of the judges, when the judges ruled. Elimelech, you see, was in the generation of a man named Salmon. At the end of the book of Ruth, in chapter 4, verse 21, and Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David. You see how many generations this is before David is born. In this generation of Salmon is Elimelech. And he has two sickly sons, and famine comes into the land. And so that kind of environment is not the best for two sons who have continuing health problems. He decides he's going to take his family and move to the country of Moab. At the end of verse 1, he says he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. And at the end of verse 2, they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now they are in a strange land full of Gentiles who do not know God. Chemosh was the god of the Moabites. Chemosh had human features but horns on his head. And according to 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 26 to 27, this god of the Moabites demanded human sacrifice. It tells us in verse 26 of 2 Kings chapter 3, when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the kingdom of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. What a horrible thing. This is where Elimelech takes his family to live, because they had food and they wanted to survive. Then we see another catastrophic change take place in the life of Naomi. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Here is this woman who has been a delight to many. She has loved her husband, who was a godly man. He has taken her and their children to a strange land where idolatry prevails, and now he dies, and she is left with her sons. To their credit, Naomi's two sons step up and took wives, showing that they are attempting to take some responsibility, I suppose. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. That seems to be a problem. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. Orpah means gazelle, and Ruth means friend. Perhaps the sons thought their wives could be of some help to Naomi and some comfort and encouragement in the loss of her husband. But they were Moabite women. Notice it says at the end of verse 4 that they dwelt there about 10 years. They've been there a considerable amount of time, and you begin to wonder how much these two sons have adopted the culture of the Moabites. But then another catastrophic change comes place in Naomi's life. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, which is not totally surprising in light of the meanings of their names, one being sick and the other being pining or wasting away or losing strength. We might wonder, though, if God took them to spare Naomi seeing them sink deeper into Moabite culture or even religion. Regardless, Naomi was left. Verse 5, the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Her godly husband is gone, to whom it had been her pleasure to be his delight. Her two sons are gone, whom she had delighted to care for even in their sickliness. And she is left with two Gentile daughters-in-law, and all three of them widows. She had been away from home for at least 10 years, and in that time, life had gotten only worse and not better. It was time to go home. Verse 6. Then she arose and her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard that the famine was over in Israel. Finally, that must have been a devastating time in the period of the judges with the famine going on. Verse 6 continues, she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. It appears that her daughters-in-law had intended to go along with her, verses 6 and 7. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. But Naomi had a different plan. She didn't want the girls to go along. Verse 8, Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Now, Naomi says that these two young women had dealt kindly with the dead. Obviously, the dead would include their husbands, Mahlon and Chilion, and perhaps also their father-in-law, Elimelech. They had dealt kindly with these men. They treated their husbands and their fathers-in-law with a disposition that would make them happy in life. They also dealt kindly with Naomi, for at the end of the verse she says, and with me. She wants the Lord to deal kindly with them in the same way that they had dealt kindly with this family. Naomi apparently had had some pleasure in a relationship with her daughters-in-law before her husband died. Sometimes you just have to make the best of what you have, even though it's not all you want. Naomi wanted Orpah and Ruth to have a better life than they had a past, I suppose. And so she wants the Lord to deal kindly with them. Not Chemosh, not their own God. Naomi's faith in the Lord was very real. She's not going to call upon a false god to bless them. She calls upon the Lord to bless them. And Naomi's hope, I'm sure, was that both Ruth and Orpah would come to know the Lord and his blessing in their lives. She says in verse 8, go return each to her mother's house. Naomi knew what it was like to leave home. She had been away from home for more than 10 years. She thought the two girls would be better off in their own culture than to take them out of the Moabite culture and take them into a strange land and a strange people. At this point, I'm not sure she had confidence that either one of them really knew the Lord. She says in verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. That would be a future husband. She hopes they find a man they can remarry and have a home. The emotion of the moment shows there was genuine affection in the relationship, for it says in verse 9, then she kissed them And they lifted up their voice and wept. Both Ruth and Orpah at this point insist they must go along. Verse 10, they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And then Naomi refers to a Jewish law. She says, verse 11, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Well, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 5, it says this. If brethren dwell together and one of them die and have no children, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her and take her to him to wife. You remember the Sadducees had a discussion with Jesus about this particular law. And there was a situation they presented in which there were seven brothers. And the first one married and he died. And so the next brother married that same woman and he died. And the next, and they went all the way through seven. I want to tell you, if you were marrying through the family of seven brothers and they kept dying, I'm not sure I'd want to continue the process. But they wondered in the, you remember the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, and they wondered in the resurrection which one of these men would have her to wife. And of course, Jesus said in the resurrection, there's neither giving, neither marrying nor giving in marriage. We'll be like the angels. So it was an irrelevant thing. But this was a real law in Israel. If your wife died, your brother had an obligation to marry the widow so that their first child then would inherit the original husband's inheritance. Naomi is obviously referring to this, and she even goes so far as to say, listen, I'm too old to have children at this point, but if I did have children, if I had a son tonight, are you going to wait 20 years for him to grow up by then? Ruth and Orpah would be too old to get married. No, that won't work. Go back, she says. Go back. In verse 13, she says, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. Her life is bitter. That's what grieving means. Her life is bitter. And she sort of feels like Job. The Lord has done this. And I have no idea why. Orpah decided to go back to her mother's house. Verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Naomi was convinced that Orpah did not know the Lord. So she tells Ruth, return thou after thy sister-in-law. Might be one of the reasons that Naomi really didn't want Ruth and Orpah to go along, because she didn't want to take heathen young women who needed husbands into Israel to marry young men who believed in God. But Ruth persisted. Verse 16. One of those places in Scripture that is quite profound. Sometimes used in weddings even as part of the wedding vows. though this is not between a man and a woman, this is between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, both of whom are widows. And Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. I'll go wherever you go, that's where I'm going. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people. And then she makes this statement, and thy God, my God. A declaration of faith, I would say. My God. I believe in the Lord. He will be my God, not Chemosh. Naomi, I see faith in you, and I know that your faith in your God is real, and it has been a testimony to me through these years, and I believe in your God. And now he is my God. In verse 17, she continues, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if all but death part thee and me. Not your Lord, the Lord. The Lord. And seeing Ruth's faith, Naomi relented. Verse 18, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? When Naomi saw that Ruth had accepted the Lord, that made all the difference. Naomi could see that Ruth's affection for her was real and that it was rooted in more than a lingering affection for her dead husband. Ruth loved Naomi. And Naomi needed that. And Ruth appears to love Naomi because she loved Naomi's God. They get back home to Bethlehem. Verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? People were surprised to see her. Naomi's heart was heavy in her return. And she was older. And she had been a delight. And now she was bitter. There was something different about Naomi. Is this really Naomi? And she said unto them in verse 20, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? What was Naomi thinking when she said her life was empty? Ruth was with her. What was Ruth thinking when Naomi said her life was empty? She had left her home. She had come along. She had pledged her life to Naomi and Naomi's God. It shows the true nature of Ruth's love for Naomi. Naomi's words didn't matter. She understood Naomi's pain. And when you understand someone's pain and you love them, you don't let their words bother you. Verse 22 says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her." You see those two words? With her. She was with her. This is love. Ruth loved Naomi. Ruth gave up everything that was familiar to her to stay with Naomi. And Ruth loved God. Ruth gave up everything she believed as a Moabite to believe in the Lord. This is what you do when you love someone. You give up something so that you have more to give to the one you love. Would you go, please, to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6? What did Jesus give up to love us? To give himself in his love for us. In verse 6 of Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That is an amazing place to be. But in verse 7, it says, "He made himself of no reputation." He gave up his reputation as God and took the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was in the form of God. He gave that up to take the form of a servant. Talk about a dramatic change that takes place in a person's life. But he did this in order to express his love to us. For the scripture tells us he loved us and gave himself for us. He went from being in the form of God to being in the form of a servant so that in his love for us, he could sacrifice himself to save us. When you love someone, you give something up so that you have more to give to the one you love. There are people in your life you claim that you love. Which of these two things is the frame of your mind? Do you expect them to give up things to make your life better? Or what have you given up to make their life better? Ruth is a testimony of true love. She gave up her home. She gave up everything that was familiar to her. She gave up her beliefs. So that she could love Naomi. And so that she could love God. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimony of Ruth and what she gave to love. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he gave to love us. Lord, if there's something we need to learn about love from this lesson, please teach it to us. What do we need to give up? What do we need to sacrifice? What do we need to give to really love those around us? Help us. Help us to learn this and to do it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.